B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, October 15th.
That's right.
From our Town Fair Tire Studios, Felger and Maserati presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. So catch us on the web, 98.5thesportshub.com, and the app. Great product. Download that to your phone. Stream pops right up. That's an easy, clean product right there. Let's start with Maz's sport, baseball. You been enjoying it, Maz?
Oh, yeah, no, thoroughly. The whole season or the playoffs?
Answer it however you like.
So, again, as you said yesterday, and you put the right word on it, I am monitoring it. I am monitoring it. And it didn't take me long to monitor the National League game last night because I was on the way home and it was 11-0 before I pulled in the driveway, top of the first inning. I said, well, that's the end of that. I don't need to watch this game. And that was it. It was over.
That's some word to use, too, monitoring. I mean, that's something that's an annoyance. Like, you have to monitor your blood pressure. You don't feel like doing it. You have to kind of sort of do it because of the job. That's the only reason you're paying attention right now.
No,
right?
That's a good point. I'm monitoring it. Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on it just to loosely sort of pay attention. But the fact of the matter is that I have never been really engaged in this baseball season, and I have no shame in admitting that. And I think there are a lot of people that have had a similar experience. Now, a lot of it has to do in this market with the obvious fact that the Red Sox were a complete pile of dung right out of the chute. They were garbage. It was a dumpster fire from the very beginning. They never got you to engage. That was it. And you can take that all the way back to February if you want. But the reality is it got worse after that. And yet I sit here now and I look at it. And here's my big question. And it's not as much a Boston question, although we're certainly asking it here. But I look at the Red Sox. I look at the state of baseball right now. And I think what happened this spring to the sport was the equivalent of a work stoppage. I said that at the time. It was a labor dispute. And so when you weigh it all out and you look at it all and what the playoff ratings are and the ratings for the, was it the American League, the National League? I get them mixed up. But one of them last night had a lower rating, that had a rating that was under one. The other one basically had a rating that was equivalent to what a Red Sox game was this year, which means nobody watched it. Okay, nobody's watching the baseball playoffs. Not that they really ever fully dig in this market when the Red Sox aren't involved. But even so, they're higher than they are now. Nobody is watching. And my question nationally is, and as it relates to the sport, Murray, I know your answer to this, but work with me a little bit, okay? Right. Work with me a little.
I will.
Did you miss it at all? And if the answer is no, did you miss it more or less than you thought you would?
I guess I missed it less.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. If you were to say to me, did I miss baseball this year? I would say, sure, yeah, of course. I did. I mean, I've spent my life around that game, for crying out loud. My adult life, anyway. I covered baseball for a long time, as you know. And I spent a lot of time watching and invested in the Red Sox since I was a kid. Now ask me, did I miss it more or less than I thought?
Did you miss it more or less than you thought?
Less. Less. I missed it less than I thought. I didn't think I would. I thought I would miss it more, and I didn't. And so, again, the last time baseball had a work stoppage, and to me, that's what this was. That's what this felt like. When they came back the next year, attendance had dropped 20%. 20%.
So what year are you talking about?
94, 95.
I'm going to say 94, okay.
Yep, 94, 95. The season got terminated in August of that year. The players walked out on August 12th. A month later, Bud Selig said, that's it, we're done, no World Series, that's the end of the season. Pulled the plug on it entirely. They came into spring training with replacement players. As there was a lockout, and then finally they settled the thing that they didn't come back to the field until the end of April. That season, attendance was down on an average basis 20%. Not overall, 20% per game, fewer fans showed up. It went from about 30 to like 24, okay, which is a big drop. And I think something like similar is going to happen this year.
I was going to say, are you worried about your sport?
Yes. Yes, I think something similar is going to happen this year. And so, again, really, the ultimate people who are going to decide it are fans. Do fans look at this as, okay, the game is gone for a year, I want it back, I missed it? Or do they, or do you miss it less than you thought? Because I think the ratings and attendance and all that stuff is coming down significantly. I'd be surprised if next year it isn't somewhere between a 10 to 20% drop. I think it's going to be that pronounced. And so there are a lot of reasons for that, and I'm talking nationally as well as locally. I just think that the game's got major problems, and this year, and you can blame it on COVID if you want, but COVID maybe, and there's some sort of stupid metaphor in here, but again, work with me. COVID has been a bigger threat to the week. Baseball's weak. Baseball's been weak. And so it was more vulnerable than the other sports. They had a brief little window and opportunity there, I think, to try to capture the stage and maybe entice people back, and they blew it and they made it worse. And I think the damage of this season and this summer is going to be lasting, and I don't know if they'll ever fully recover from it. I mean, the Montreal Expos got destroyed by the work stoppage of 94-95. They ultimately had to leave Montreal. They ended up as the Washington Nationals. Toronto has never been the same. Baseball in Canada, as we know it, not that we care about Canada, but baseball up there has never been the same after that, ever. Toronto, its attendance from 92 to 94 was over 4 million a season.
So what do you think that is? Is that, it's not resentment, because resentment, for you to resent something, you have to be passionate about it and care about it, and you ultimately come back. You know, resentment you get over. You're saying that the once they got to a world with no baseball, they realized they can live without baseball, and they never got the passion back.
Yeah, I think people moved on to other things and said, that's it. We're not going to – you don't mean enough to us for you to play these stupid, silly games with us and to string us along. So you know what? You think we're going to just come back? We're not. We're not. And I think that, again, as in this year, in 2020, in COVID America, the weak have – the COVID world, people – the old and weak have been more vulnerable. Older and weaker is a better way to say it. And I think in the sports world, I think that's baseball. And it would not surprise me in the least bit if baseball's never the same after this. And if people think I'm wrong, then fine, let me know. But well, I think this thing did major damage.
Okay, so what do you think? What do you think? How they handled it, so some of it beyond their control, but some within their control. I mean, they came back about a full month after they could have.
No question.
I mean, they screwed around with that contract and that labor agreement, and it took them forever to figure out how to get back on the field. So literally, they wasted about 3 to 4 weeks where they could have been on the field, center stage, only game in town, and blew it. So that's within their control. A lot of it's, you know, outside of their control. But between the two, do you think you'll never come back? Did you miss it? Did you miss it more than you thought, less than you thought? I'll answer, just I can only speak for myself. I missed it. I missed it more than I thought. And this is, you know, fully acknowledging that I have major problems with the sport that I detail on an almost daily basis. And I think people, you know, tend to believe that I'm like I hate baseball. I'm a baseball basher. It's really just the opposite. It's like most people my age, it's the sport I grew up with. The Milwaukee Brewers were a more formative team for me growing up than the Green Bay Packers. It wasn't even close, if you ask me. You know, when a 12-year-old Mikey Felger, you know, 13-year-old Mikey Felger, I mean, it wasn't even close. And to this day, if you ask me to this day, not that you care, but we're on it, so what championship would be most important to me? The Brewers winning. You know, that's still in my blood. I flew out the other year and a half ago to Game 7 of the NLCS to see if the Brewers could make a World Series. Is that important to me? And so I miss it. I want it. I want it to be relevant again. I want people to care. I want people to watch. If for no other reason, well, I do care about the sport, but also for the show. You know, we enjoy talking sports and keeping it to sports. And if there's one less sport and one less team, that's not good for us.
I mean, you know how I feel about that part of it. From that standpoint, again, you know, my professional life in Boston has largely been spent on baseball. So, but I do fear that this spring and summer, I think it left a mark, a big one. I think there's a major hole there, and I'm not sure the game will ever get it fully back.
How do they get it back? You say there's no way they can. How do they get it back?
Well, so I think that there's a major overhaul there that has to take place. And I'm not sure that they're willing to do it there, but I think rules have to change. Players have to change. Pace of play has to improve. The product has to improve.
But and nothing can happen overnight because they've lost too many people.
Right. So I don't think there's any quick, easy fix to it. I think that, and nor do I think that we've ended up where we've ended up in any sort of like one swift thing. I think it's been this slow erosion of the product little by little. And that all of a sudden it was, you know, it turned into launch. It somehow got to the point where it was the three true outcomes, launch angle, shifts. And it's about how the game is managed now versus the way how the game is played. And so the length of time it took to get here, I think it's going to take the same length of time to get back, if it can get back. And I just think that, again, so again, the game was getting weaker. It was deteriorating. And then this thing.
The death knell? You worry about that.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Well, yeah, so it's boxing and horse racing now. Like, you have to accept it.
Maybe.
And I still like boxing. I'm trying to. So I mean, I'll hang on to baseball. I need it. I want it. It's still important to me. I wish the games were better. God, I wish the games were better.
But Mike, to that point,
and it's not because I hate it. It's because I love it.
Of course.
You know?
Yes. Like, no, you love it when it's played right.
I mean, I don't think it's what people understand. It's like, no. I want my game back.
Yeah, it can still be good. Even me, I said the other day, I watched Yankees Rays, you know, that final game of that series because I wanted to see Chapman crap his pants. It was a 1-1 game late into the eighth,
and
you know,
sure
that was compelling. I watched that over the NBA Finals, but I feel like that kind of stuff is far and few between. You kind of only get that in the playoffs.
Oh, there's still nothing like these postseason at bats in these moments, but it's just after four
to
hours
get there,
of it,
yeah.
you can't do it for four hours.
It's excruciating.
That's what these postseason games are. But I'm like, we've been over that. We don't mean to like rehash that topic. Because we've done it a million times. But it's, you know, will you come back? Do you want it back?
Well, and to your point, like you said, you grew up with it. It's what it meant a lot to you.
You bet.
So think of it in these terms. Like, at what age did it really start to mean something to you? At 9, 10? Like, somewhere in that area, I really started to get into the Red Sox? Well, there's a whole pile of 9 and 10-year-olds that spent the whole year with no baseball on TV that were never even really exposed to it. And not just here. Really, in lots of markets all across America, is just wiped out of their routine and existence.
And now they're trying to get famous on TikTok, and some of them are, and you're never going to get them.
Well, right. And so, but for those kids, we say it's you know, 10 or 11% of their lives up to that point. In terms of their memories, it's almost 100%. Like, those kids may never know that it exists. They're out. They're out. They're gone. So now you're going to, like, they don't even know it's there. I just think they did major, major damages here. Major.
Okay. That's our topic. Your thoughts right after this.
Dugger has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dig. All right, started with the baseball question. Courtesy of Maz. He worries that, if not a death knell for baseball, this is a hit the sport and is not going to come back from. Kind of like 94. When it lost a season, it was never the same. Had the little steroid spurt there, the little home run chase. But he talked about markets where the game went away and has never really come back. And is this going to be a similar thing? You're worried about that, Maz.
I am, yeah. And look, again, you know, the 98 brought the game back to a certain degree. But again, now they've played that card, right? We've seen that. So how many new things are they going to do to get us back? There's nothing left. The only way is to change the sport, I think, and make it a better product. And I'm not sure they're willing to do that.
Charlie and Cranston, lead us off. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm going death nail on this. It meant something to me back in 2004, 2003. And I always liked watching pitching, but like it hurt in 2003 with Timmy Wakefield throwing that pitch to Boone in game 7 of the ALCS. That hurt. And then the next year was crazy. And now it's just like a flat line dead.
You're beyond being hurt. Sox fans don't get hurt anymore. They don't care.
Well, so I think that, so again, that's a Boston thing. Right? And nothing will ever compete with 03 and 04 again. Forget it. That's gone. You're never going to get that again. They were chasing something for 100 years. So the only way that happens is if they go the next century and without having won, and I'm not sure the game's going to last that long. I'm talking about the sport overall.
Right. So it would be great, great, if they could get back to being a national sport. But I think that's dead.
Oh, it is. That part, I think, is gone for sure.
And I don't know if it's ever going to come back.
Mike, I'm looking at it as, I think I put this in the email this morning. I'm not trying to compare 2020 to 2004. I'm trying to compare 2020 to 2019.
Well, I mean, honestly, in terms of interest level, I just need it to be hockey here. Meaning, when you're good, everyone's into it, and it's a big deal here.
Sure.
I don't care if they're watching in Kansas or not, because they're not. It's not going to happen. It's over. As a national sport, it's over. If, you know... You just don't know who the good teams are. You don't care. Once the Red Sox are out, you don't care, which is fine. Once the Bruins are out, you don't care about the NHL. Fine. The NBA, I think, has become more of a national sport. We could sit here and talk LeBron. We couldn't sit here and talk about a single other hockey player all day long. I don't think we'd sit here and talk about a baseball player. I don't think we'd talk about a single baseball player unless he's a Red Sox that people would care about.
And I happen to agree.
I'd say the same thing about hockey. There's not a single hockey player I don't think we could talk, you know, unless there's a special circumstance, you know, off the grid sort of topic. But there's not a baseball or hockey player outside of a Bruin or a Red Sox that you care about would spend 2 minutes on. We can obviously do it in football and obviously do it in basketball. I think that those days for baseball are gone. That's gone and not coming back. I just want to hang on to it as a regional.
Sure, of course.
You know, just be one of the four majors that people care about enough to sustain, you know, this show, if you will, or, you know, us. That's all I'm asking. I even worry about that.
Well, and I think that that's a legitimate concern. Again, if we're talking like locally, they're hemorrhaging too. Like, really, I think the sport is hemorrhaging. The Red Sox are hemorrhaging. And when I say that attendance is going to drop 10 to 20%, I'm assuming, saying that under the assumption that everything's back to normal. Like, and it's probably not going to be. I'm saying if stadiums were operating at full capacity and people felt safe, I still think they lost 10 to 20% of the people.
Yeah.
I think they lost that many.
Danny in Nashua, hi.
Hey, how's it going? So, I'm going to piggyback on the baseball dying. Kids don't want to watch it anymore. They don't want to play it anymore. It all starts with the younger generations. They're all playing lacrosse now. I think lacrosse could, you know, get more popular. I don't think it'll be as big as baseball's ever been, but I think it's going to grow.
Okay. It's not in our lifetime. I mean, it's going to grow, but it's not going to be. You know, soccer, I've told you, our former guy in Rhode Island who I said – not going to make it to soccer emerging. Who did I say that to? Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
12 years, you're not going to make it. You know, we haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah, I hope nothing happened.
I hope he made it. I didn't mean it. But, you know.
Yeah, given his age bracket.
Soccer gets you before baseball. I mean, soccer gets you before lacrosse. And I, you know, in some respects, it's not MLS necessarily, but the whole soccer world. I mean, who sells more jerseys in the U.S., Messi or Mike Trout?
Ooh, is it Messi?
I mean, to me, it's not even I don't see. I never see. I can't tell you ever once have I seen a kid walk around with a L.A. Angels jersey. Never seen it. I see kids wear the Messi and Ronaldo jerseys all the time. All the time, all over the place. Don't you?
Yes. I mean, now that you say it, yes.
Yes. When's the last time you saw a kid wear a baseball jersey?
I mean, other than a Red Sox player, I don't.
I've never seen it. Or maybe, I got a friend who's a Yankee fan. His kid wears a Yankee jersey. But I've never seen a kid walking around with a Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, name it. Name the black. I don't see it. I see Ronaldo and Messi all over the place.
I can tell you this. If my kids wake up in the morning and say, oh, the baseball playoffs are going on right now? I'm not joking.
That's scary, man.
Like but you ask them who won the Bills-Titans game, and they'll know right away what happened.
Brian in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, I just kind of agree. Like, I don't agree with lacrosse. I agree with you guys saying soccer is going to be bigger. But I also think the reason why baseball is dying is twofold. One, there's no stars. Even the people you were saying, Mike Trout, and I don't know who the heck the other guy is. And then it costs too much. What family of four wants to spend that much money to go see a...
You know what? It isn't it. I hate that. These arguments are old. They're old arguments.
Not it.
They're old arguments.
They're all expensive.
Yeah, and it's not about the star power either. Because if the quality of the product were good and people liked the game, then there'd be stars.
Bingo.
We'd be interested in it that way. And again, I'm focusing on this year. I'm trying to keep it to that. Because the other thing we've done a million times, from last year to this year, did you miss it? Did you miss it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and I did too, but not as much as I thought I would. Now, look, maybe it's because basketball and hockey were going on during the summer. So I had some other distractions. I had some other things I was interested in. Certainly the local teams were part of it. But even like these playoffs now, I look at it and say, I'm rooting against them all. I hope they all lose. If there's a way for the World Series to be wiped out and no one to win this year, I'd be happy.
The only thing that would bring it back at a passionate level is to roll back the clock and not have a World Series championship. I think that hurts you a little bit too. It does. Because now you just got to watch the baseball.
And to eradicate cell phones and video games and every other option that every young kid would much rather put in their hands deal with.
That's different. The young kids are gone. You know, you don't have them anyway. I'm talking about the passion of the Red Sox fan. If you still didn't have a championship, it'd be more readily apparent. Trust me on that.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but once you've won and now that thing's over, it's like, well, now it's just the game itself. And it's not enough to sustain passion. It's just not.
It's not. I agree. And I think it's getting worse.
And again, I mean, just to use my own example, not that you want to hear it, but the Brewers are the most important team of my childhood. If they won, it would mean a great deal to me. And I still have that thing about I want to see them win one before I die. I want that. And it keeps me hooked. It keeps me on the app. I watch their games. Like, once they win and that thing's over, and then I just have to watch the game, it's not going to be quite the same.
Well, this is why, and I mean, I've had one of my friends literally almost punch me out one night for saying this. In a lot of ways, I believe one of the worst things that ever happened to the Red Sox was them winning the World Series. And I believe that for the Cubs as well. They were far more interesting when they had the carrot dangling in front of them that they could never grab.
Yeah.
But sure.
I think it's an obvious one.
Yeah, for sure.
But that also isn't quite what we're talking about.
No, I know. But still, like, I think the passion would still be there if Sox just came close and then just kept failing again. They were far more interesting that way.
Right, but this is sort of the point, Murray, that in the absence of all those things you're talking about, the game's not enough.
Right.
Like, the Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls. Does that stop you from going to the TV?
No. No, it's the product overall. Like, it's those stupid three true outcomes. I hate that. Put the effing ball in play.
I mean, the Celtics and Bruins have both won within the last 10 years, basically. Hasn't stopped me from going to the TV. I still want to watch those teams. This thing?
Eric in San Diego, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's so market specific. I know here in San Diego and L.A., interest is through the roof with Tatis and Mookie. And ironic, the players are awesome, like, as they've ever been. The athletic ability. So Boston's down. I think that once they're up again, there'll be more interest locally.
Okay, well, I hope you're right. I really do. I honestly do.
San Diego and L.A. haven't won in a while.
Is interest through the roof there? I mean, I hope it is.
So, look, the Padres are hot. But, again, what have they ever won? That's sort of like your Brewers.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, those markets, like, I think L.A.'s more a real city than you do, Maz. But still, those are the kind of places where when they lose, they don't care.
Correct.
Like, that's...
I did tell you guys about a month ago that my buddy who works doing this in Chicago said the buzz for the White Sox was pretty palatable.
Yeah, I hope that's true.
Over the last few months.
I hope it's true. You know, I can't speak to that. But to me, what always defines a sports town is when you lose, what's it like?
Yeah.
Because when you win, you know, anywhere.
Right, Pink Hat City.
You know, right, exactly. Of course we're into it. Like, yay, Fernando Tatis and the die. Wee! When you lose, do you just say, oh, what's the diff? We'll go to the beach? Or do you sit there and grind it out? Because in Boston, the guy sits in his triple-decker pounding the coffee table over the loss. And it's like, that's the deal. Like, when you lose, you're still there and you're pissed and you care. Is San Diego, L.A., when they lose, do they really care?
No, not like here, no.
No.
And so, I'll say, look, I think there's a little thing with the Dodgers now. They haven't won in 30 years. Okay, which for them is a long time.
And they've sniffed it too. So that's probably helping it out there.
I mean, I think it totally is. But again, that's all it is that quest. You're on this endless quest to win, that because you haven't won in a while and you can't get there. But other than that, the game doesn't suck you in. It doesn't.
Back to your thoughts after this, after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
I don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Give us as much as you can as far as the framework of the time here. When do we need to have something done in order to salvage what it is they're talking about?
3 weeks ago.
Play that,
Maz. I just think it's so typical. It's so perfect in baseball. That was Buster Olney on Get Up with Mike Greenberg. He says, when do we have to have things in place to have a season?
Three weeks ago.
There was, you go. Thank you, Jimmy.
June, right? Or
oh,
something.
My gosh. They were so far behind.
3 weeks ago.
They gave a finger to every baseball fan in America. They really did. They gave the finger to everybody in the midst of a pandemic. And so now, like, nobody's watching the World Series or the LCSs. The playoff ratings are down. And I know ratings are down for everything. I just think that under the circumstances, it was going to be hard enough to keep fans engaged, as the NBA proved. Baseball? Oh, baseball basically shot you in the face in the process. The sport was so insulting to fans this year. It really was. And I believe that the damage from this thing is significant. I do.
Ryan in the car. Go ahead. What do you got?
Have you ever seen someone with like a terminal, say, lung cancer that continues to smoke through the hole in their throat?
Yep.
That's baseball for refusing to
that's
address
horrible.
This product. And honestly, even though a big fan growing up and really no longer, I just hope that they hurry up and die. And if you want a hot take, I think MLS will be bigger than them in 10 to 15 years.
Okay, 10 to 15 years. I mean, it's a pretty big window right there. It ain't going to die. They just signed this massive new TV contract nationally. And regionally, teams make a lot of money off the regional cables. So it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's not going anywhere. My bigger concern is, like, will you care?
Right.
Will you really care about who wins and loses and who the good players are and where they're going? And, you know, or is it just going to be like a leisure time diversion that's just sort of there, la-ti-da, but there's no passion? You need to do something in the summer. You need to take the kids to the ballgame. And, you know, it's July. Nothing else is on, so you'll take a nap in front of the game on your lazy boy. Like, that's always going to be there. But is it going to be enough for you to care if they win or lose and then call up the next day and actually care about who's on your team versus who's on their team and who won the game the night before? That's what I want. That's what I need.
Of course. And I just see, I'm not predicting like an imminent death. I'm not saying that. I focus on the way it's trending. And I think it's continuing to go in the opposite direction. And this year sped it up. That's all. So, again, if you were to ask a lot of people, having lived through this summer, we come to next summer, and you have a chance to go out and play golf or watch a ball game, what are you going to do?
Oh, then I'll watch a ball game. I ain't playing that stupid
Okay,
sport.
Well, that's you. But I'm telling you, a lot of people, golf got a lot of people hooked this year because they couldn't do anything else. So baseball, you're going to lose those people, I'm telling you.
George in New Hampshire. Hi, George.
Yeah, Mike, you just touched on something that I'm going to be calling about here. How do you explain these ridiculous amounts of money being thrown around by the regional sports networks regarding the game?
Because they have to have programming, you know. So these companies paid for those channels. They paid for those, you know, I was going to say sticks, but it's not a broadcast stick anymore. But whatever, you pay for the cable channel. You pay for the cable channel network. In the case of the Red Sox, NESN comes with the team. So you pay billions of dollars for these products. They aren't going anywhere. You still have to have it and service them. So you have to put something on those channels. And NESN, you know, they don't do the ancillary programming that, say, NBC Sports Boston does. If they don't have a Red Sox game or a Bruins game, it's a fishing show. And God bless, you know, Charlie Moore, but they need the games. And so, and not even like in that case where the team owns the network, there's these huge licensing because Fox, you know, Fox Sports or NBC Sports Boston or Comcast Sports or whatever pays billions of dollars for those networks and those channels. They have to, and they aren't going anywhere. So to get any sort of return on that investment, they've got to put something on there. You got to put something on. And as far as they're concerned, a four-hour baseball game works perfectly because if it's not baseball, it's a fishing show. And so they don't care if the game goes 4 hours. In fact, they prefer that it go 4 hours because then they don't have to go to the infomercial. So that's a big problem with the game.
Oh, it's a huge problem with the game.
There's no financial incentive for them to tighten up the product.
Okay, so my question then becomes, how are these networks surviving? How are they surviving?
Because this is a bigger conversation about basic cable and cable packages and whatnot. A lot of them, I think, are part of your basic cable pack.
Right. So they get fees just for being in someone's house. Mm-hmm.
You can't even, you don't watch the Red Sox anymore. It's no longer a choice. Nesson's on your basic cable, which means $3 a box times 20 million
sure.
homes in New England, and that's how they make their money.
And what happens is cords get cut.
So, yeah, there you go.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. And I'm not telling you that's an overnight thing. But I think little by little, like, again, are you going to pay the extra money to have at some point to have access to all these cable networks when baseball is the only thing they have? Are you going to say, screw this? I'm just going to stream what I want when I want. And if I need to watch a game, I'll just see the highlights.
Yeah, but
I don't care about it that much anymore.
They still fold in a station like Nesson on, you know, the YouTube sports package or Hulu or something like that. You can't just pay for Nesson a la carte. So you're never really going to know. You're never going to know whether or not they're being affected as much as we probably think they are.
Yeah, but I'm willing to predict that overall viewership and attendance is going to go down steadily. And this year is going to give it a nice little kick in the ass.
We've got Lou and Winthrop. Hi, Lou.
Yeah, hi. Baseball needs to shorten the season to 144 games with scheduled seven-inning games. Embrace the idea of in-season tournaments against Korean and Japanese league teams. And also follow suit to what Wrigley Field has done by putting a sports book at stadiums.
Well, that'll help some.
Oh, that'll help a lot. Put slot machines in, too, for that matter.
Well, no. You got to be able to bet on the game. So that brings, you know, you want to be passionate about a sport or a game, bet on it. Right, so that does help. Let you bet, you know, put parimutuel windows at the freaking ballpark.
Great idea.
Okay, that I'm into. That would, the thing about seven innings and 144 games. Nice, except if it still takes 45 seconds in between every pitch, and it's either a walk or a strikeout or a home run, and anything hit on the ground is into a shift and is an easy tap. You know, if the game is still the game, that's not the core issue.
No, the product has to change.
You know, if going to seven innings brings you under 3 hours, but it's still terminal in those seven innings, that's not the point. The point is you got to get, you know, from pitch to pitch and batter to batter quicker than you're getting with more balls in play.
I mean, again, you're way more likely to see a guy strike out than get a hit. It's not even close.
So whether that's seven innings or nine innings, that's the core issue.
And it takes. So the point being is that there's no action in the game to begin with, and now you're spreading the action out even further and further with every game. The product blows. It blows. And again, my only point was because again we've had this discussion before. My point was as it relates to this year, with the product being what it's been, the game is weaker to begin with. Then it gets hit with COVID. It's not going to recover like the other ones will. And I'm not sure the other ones are going to come back 100%. That might take a few years for them to get back to where they were. I mean, football's going to do fine. But basketball took a hit in the postseason here in terms of ratings. Baseball will get hammered by this thing. Hammered.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. As promised, Maz is worried about his sport. He's worried about COVID, the break, how the season played out. It's going to be another nail in the coffin of baseball. What do you think? Dave in the car. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I think the biggest thing for me with basketball and baseball is the passion of the players. I mean, hockey and football, you see guys playing hurt all the time and injured. But with baseball and basketball, I mean, where are the real true rivalries? Where are the, like, the Jordan and the Magic, or Magic and Bird when you go after each other? And then the Bruins where they beat the crap out of everybody. I'm 42. I miss that stuff.
Dave, because you're not watching because the games are so boring. It's absolutely there in the game. It is absolutely there in the game. We just had it with the Yankees and the Rays. And no one knows and no one cares because you can't watch the game. You can't sit there for 4 hours and watch the game. But there's a tremendous back and forth with the Yankees and the Rays this year where Aroldis Chapman at 110 miles an hour is soaring at a guy's head. They almost go at it during the season. They get each other in the playoffs, and that guy who almost got plunked in the head ends up hitting the walk-off, well, eighth-inning, game-winning home run against Aroldis Chapman. I have that right?
Yep.
That's what happened.
Yep, and then what about the Dodgers and the Padres?
So, I mean, that's just the first one that came to my mind. Dodgers-Padres hate each other. Fernando Tatis, Machado, back and forth, guys blowing kisses at each other, benches emptied. You couldn't watch the game because it's boring as crap. Trust me, there's players that hate each other. There's players that are competing their asses off. There's rivalries. There's all of it. So for you to say that that doesn't exist anymore is, it exists.
In fact, I tell you, in a lot of ways, I think there are more entertaining young players and personalities in baseball than there have been in a long time.
It's just wrapped up in a four-hour game in which the ball's never in play and everyone is hitting into the shift or striking out, and so you can't sit and watch it. That's the issue. But the thing that you just are lamenting absolutely positively exists.
I mean, this kid in San Diego, Fernando Tatis Jr., this kid's as dynamic a player as I've seen come into the game in a long time. And the guy with the Braves, Acuna, he's a good player. He's entertaining. Soto with the Nationals,
there's another one. There's another one. Acuna got hit the other night, the other day, a week ago or so.
Homer to lead off the game, got drilled in the hip the next time up.
Bench is empty. They got all sorts of pissed. He had to be restrained. The Braves rallied for like seven runs that game and then wiped him out. I can't remember who it was against. I just know.
Marlins.
Because it was on here. And so there's absolutely passion, guys who care, going at it, rivalries. It absolutely exists. You've just lost track of it because you can't watch the sport anymore. Dylan in the car. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Good.
So, yeah, real quick, Mike, I know you're a big Packer fan growing up, and, you know, I'm a big football fan myself, and I found this awesome, awesome documentary that I don't know if you've seen or if you, you know, if you're interested in, but it's the legacy documentary of the first 100 years of the Green Bay Packers. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
You know, in the absence of, you know, real good football to watch for the Patriots the last couple weekends, I've been watching that, so that I just figured I'd throw that your way. But
thank you.
Real quick on the Pats, though, this coming schedule for the next couple weeks, what do you guys see us having more trouble with, the Niners coming up or the Bills? And I'll hang up and let you guys talk. Thanks.
Doesn't it feel like the Bills now?
Bills.
Yeah, the Bills.
Bills.
I feel like the Niners are in for real rough year. Real rough year.
I think Belichick could expose Garoppolo in that game.
Who's to say he's even going to be starting by then?
Well, this was an injury-related thing.
Yeah.
Fine, Murray. He's fine.
Get ready for Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard.
I'll tell you what. I hope Garoppolo's a bad year and they don't pick up the option, because you know who will be the first person at his door holding flowers and candy. Belichick.
Along these lines, just so you know, while you're on the I am really interested in the Packers-Buccaneers game this week.
Absolutely. Good game.
Rodgers-Brady. You know, I finally get to see it where the coaching is on the level. You know, it's always been like, you know, what is, you know, if you had given Aaron Rodgers Bill Belichick, you know, how does that look? I don't think Aaron Rodgers lasts 20 years because Aaron Rodgers couldn't take that kind of coaching. He's too much of a prima donna. Be that as it may, he'd make it a certain amount of time. And, you know, I just think it wasn't a fair fight, Brady Rodgers, because Brady had Belichick and a better team and a better prepared operation and all of that. Now, I mean, I don't know. Who owns a coaching matchup, Packers-Buccaneers?
I think it's the Packers.
Yeah, probably the Packers.
Scary as that is.
I think it is. I do. I think it's the Packers.
So
that game's got 40-37 written all over it.
Are the Packers one of the most undisciplined teams in the league that has a flag basically every other play?
Oh, no.
Bucks do, though.
They're plenty stupid, though. Trust me. This is going to be one big Everyone's going to be jumping off sides. Everyone's going to be holding. It's going to be back and forth. Who's going to F up more? It's going to be 40 to 38 with about 18 penalties.
I mean, that's what I feel. That field game feels like an absolute shootout.
It's going to be a cluster is what it's going to be.
7-on-7.
Anthony in Connecticut. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, hey, guys. I don't know if you saw Bob Ryan was tweeting the 1977 Red Sox every game. And at the end of the tweet, he would put the time of the game. And it was always 2:10, 2:15, 2:20. And, you know, I went online and looked at a few of those games just to remind myself what it was like. And it's just so different from now and much more enjoyable. And I think, you know, they need to try to get back to that time of game and that pace of play. And
tighten up the product.
78? 88, it's a completely different game.
Seriously, though.
Tighten up the product. It's just, I mean, I do it too much. I don't want to do it again. But I mean, it's just I've stopped doing it because it's just.
Yeah, beating your head against the wall.
Beating the head against the wall. I've done it a million times. But just look at the time of game for these games. I had a 2-1 Rays game the other day, 3 hours and 50 minutes. I mean, it's just preposterous.
It is. It's insane. It's insane. You can watch like the whole Godfather trilogy for crying out loud. Not that you really have to watch a third one.
But if you did.
But even so.
Yeah, if you watch any of this stuff back in the spring when nothing was on, you know, because I remember on ESPN, they game one of the 88 World Series, A's, Dodgers, the Kirk Gibson walk-off. I remember watching it, and I was like, oh, I remember loving this as a kid. And yes, it flew by. It was compelling. It was great. It was like a completely different sport.
Oh, my gosh. It was totally different.
We've got Matt in Natick. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got for us?
Matt, when you started your soliloquy at the beginning of the show, you rang all kinds of bells for me. I'm the dying demographic. I'm 72. Saw my first Red Sox game in 57.
Matt, let me tell you, you know what your fellow baseball fans call you?
Yeah, I'm dead.
No, kid.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like a junior member for the baseball demo.
Seriously, yeah. You got a long way to go, kid.
My guy's my age, but even younger than me. They've lost it. They don't care. You asked about whether or not baseball was important to you this year and whether or not you kind of lost interest. I might have watched 5 innings of the Red Sox this year, and the playoffs I've just checked in once in a while. It's. I thought Manfred's going to do something. He's got no sack. None of the owners have any sack. I'm disgusted.
Okay, Matt, thank you.
I'll listen.
You're so right about Manfred. You know, I wanted to like him. I was rooting for him. He says the right things. He talks about the pace of play all the time and talks about the pitch clock and talks about all these things. And so I felt his heart was in the right place, and he wanted these things, and he recognized it, and good for him, and I was supportive of him. He's done squat. Zero. Ballless.
He hasn't dug in at all.
Ballless.
I told you. I mean, they should have used this summer to pick a war. You know, pick a fight. Start a war. That's what they should have done. They should have said, we might be headed for a labor stoppage anyway. The quality of the product sucks. If we're going to flush a season down the toilet, let's flush this one, because they flushed it anyway. I mean, really, they did. They wasted it anyway. They alienated so many people in the process. What's the difference? Did you gain anything by playing these games? They should have flushed it. They should have picked the fight then, started the war, and said, nope, we need major, major changes in this game. We need radical change. It's got to be an overhaul. So don't come back until you're ready to do it. They didn't do it. And so I told you, I'm half hoping for a strike this winter. Like, let's go. Let's go to war. Because you got to fix it. This little by little, it's eroding. And I think this past summer did as much damage with them coming back as if they hadn't come back. Really, what did they gain out of it?
No, God, nothing.
Nothing. They gained nothing out of it.
They really didn't.
They should have just picked the fight and been done with it. That's it. Go to war.
90 seconds, no commercials. Just an update. The latest in the NFL where there was some COVID cases both here and elsewhere. The very latest here with Murray in the update. No spots again, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.